I won't introduce myself. Most of you know who I am. And if you don't, well, you know, you won't lose any sleep over it. So the poem that my poem that's in the Chance of a Ghost anthology is called Phantoms. I have also never seen a ghost and wished that I would. This is as close to a ghost as I've ever experienced. And I base this on a guy I used to play basketball with. Phantoms. Because they couldn't find my father, a neighbor had to drive mother to the hospital. And the week after I was born, they snipped the extra little fingers that sprouted between my knuckles, like I had a smaller baby growing inside of me, reaching out along with my uncoordinated reach, both of us grasping our mother's tearful face. Looking closely 30 years later, you can still see the marks left behind, marks like alternate leaf scars on a twig. But also, 30 years after doctors pruned the tiny grasp within a grasp, I can still feel those clinging phantom fingers. I felt them through childhood piano lessons, my 10 digits plinking the keys, the tinier 10 playing a phantom counterpoint. On the high school basketball team, I felt the spectral grip guiding the ball through the hoop. Together we struggled for every soft inch up a girl's thigh in the back of my Dodge. Later, they trembled when I tried to dial my father who finally dragged himself to the hospital 3 days after my birth, then fled forever from my deformity. They quivered when I reached out to mother, who folded herself in grief like a beloved tragic novel and never did come out. And now I not only feel those fingers in the firm, impersonal shake of a business deal, I also see what must be the rest of that creature when a shadow flits in the corner of my eye. It happens late at night when doing the dishes or paying the bills. I look and there is nothing. It has disappeared, flown in the radiator, dropped down a crack in the worn floorboards. My heart sinks, and I immediately lean up the stairs to my wife, lying there reading. And though I would never ever tell her this, I couldn't bear bringing her to tears. I know when I walk upstairs with a sunken heart and I feel the phantom twinging in my fingers that I could be going up to anybody, that I'm only reaching out for anyone. Well, that poem is older than I am. That's so old. I never read that. I don't have a lot of ghost poems, but I do have a lot of monster poems. I started writing these monster sonnets, and I couldn't stop. The first one is about Mothra. Everybody knows Mothra, right? The giant moth. Oh, the giant moth. That's so scary, right? So she used to fight Godzilla. I guess she won. I'm not sure, but this is Mothra. Let's face it. I make a shitty monster. Moths hardly instill fear in the hearts of man. A cherry bomb could pound me back to powder. And if the villagers only thought about it, they could have simply built a giant bonfire, and I wouldn't have been able to resist. I would have flown inside in a burning minute. Did you know some moths have no mouths? They live for 7 days after sprouting wings, time only to fuck, fly, and die. Not me. I run at the mouth in my old age. Now that my pupa have left the planet, I creep down lonely streets at night, drawn to the few windows not dark and shut, but empty and blue. This one isn't really a monster or a ghost at all, but he's monstrous. This is Bigfoot. Life is difficult when you don't exist. Sometimes, deep in the snowy woods, I feel so full of life I stop to check my wrist. Nothing. But I keep on digging big heels, making fake tracks and leaving false clues. I once tore deer crossing signs into confetti. It went unnoticed. I compete for front page news with aliens, pop stars, Nessie, and the Yeti. Though tabloid space is tough to get these days, you never let me die, forever seeing what's not there. You human beings always believe you can believe me into being. You analyze a hair or sift through feces, straining to find the ghost that haunts your species. For my students, you get extra credit if you can tell me what kind of sonnet that is. Don't tell, you who know. Okay, a couple more little monster sonnets here. This is a vampire. I was intrigued with the idea of a vampire. They're usually such dandies, but unfortunately they're cursed with the sad fact that they can never see their own reflection. Unlife is difficult when you're a dandy and can't register the faintest reflection. Pre-undead days, nothing came nearer perfection than my mirror, me, my own eye candy. Ah, how I brought the drabbest puddle to life. My surface outshone on a given summer day the classiest Marshall Field window display. I'd fix a misplaced hair in the butter knife. Now, though I am ageless, I grow old, invisible as death. I'm left to seek in my victim's eye the beauty they behold before I suck the rosy from their lips, devour the apple redness from their cheeks, and drain them down to their wilted fingertips. So I read one more, my last one. This is River Thing. So I was raised along the Ohio River, and now we live along the river here as well, the Mississippi. So I think about rivers a lot. River Thing. I watched her through the sliding glass door as she ate an egg and avocado sandwich and sipped Chablis. Her husband away again, I could smell her loneliness from across the field. The scent of loneliness carries much further at night. She must have smelled me too. I am so rich and full this time of year with the moldering leaves, the dank days. She looked up and saw me steaming, slid open the door, stood aside, and I stepped through, wordless and dripping. You're like a warm mud bath, she laughed as I folded her into me. I nodded because I have no mouth and caressed her with warmth and murk. This week the banks will flood and I'll take her, the house, its very foundation, with me downriver. Thanks.